A large part of Japan's gross national cool is Japanese animation, or anime. Think of those beautiful, beloved Miyazaki films like Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, or Japanese manga comics. If you want to know more about Japan's contemporary graphic arts explosion, Fred Schott is the guy to go to. He was writing about manga before we here in the States were eating sushi. Steve Paulson caught up with him.
There's one man who's been called the god of manga, Osamu Tezuka, who's most famous for his character, Astro Boy. Tezuka died 25 years ago, but you knew him. And in fact, you were his English translator. You often traveled with him around the U.S. What made Tezuka so influential?
Well, Tezuka was one of the people, if not the main person after World War II, who did what I just mentioned, which is to take this grammar that had been imported largely from the United States for comic books and expand from a concentrated information to make it much more visual and cinematic. So his stories became very long, and instead of being 30 or 40 pages or more, they might be as long as 2,000 or even 3,000 pages long. So he tried to do with comics what other people have tried to do with novels and film.
And you say he had stories 2 or 3,000 pages long? What, yes. In installments then, presumably?
Yes, they would be in installments, but they would be compiled into paperback books. And he was quite an extraordinary individual. So in his lifetime, it's said that he drew 150,000 pages. He also established the framework for the modern Japanese comics and animation industry because he took his most popular manga or comics character, Astro Boy, as we know him, and animated that in Japan in 1963 for television. So it's the first 30-minute animated series that appeared in Japan and was exported to the United States. So that's really where the modern framework of cool Japan and manga, anime, comics, animation, and associated paraphernalia and merchandise really comes from.
Well, tell me about his most famous character, Astro Boy, a robot. Who was this character?
Astro Boy is a very unique character that Tezuka created in 1951. And in the beginning, Astro Boy was just one character in a larger story, but he became quite popular. And the next year, in 1952, Tezuka made him the star of his story, which is in Japanese is Tetsuo Atomu, or Mighty Atom. And it was changed in the United States to Astro Boy.
And his Japanese name actually was Atom, right?
That's correct.
Atom. I mean, and one of the conceits was he was powered by an atomic reactor.
That's right, an atomic reactor. And he was a robot. So this was very novel at the time in Japan. And when it was shown on television in the United States in 1963, that was a very novel idea that the star of an animated series would actually be a robot. And he was kind of a Pinocchio-style character because in the storyline, he was created as the surrogate for the son of a scientist because the real son had been killed in an automobile accident. So Astro Boy is created to be identical to the scientist's son and to function just like a son, except that he's a robot and he's endowed with all these special capabilities as well. Hmm. So it was at the time, it was a very novel idea.
So why did this character take off? Why did he become such a huge phenomenon?
I think it was partly due to Tezuka's storytelling abilities. And right after World War II, young Japanese in particular were really hungry for entertainment because the country had been largely, the cities had been destroyed, and there was very little inexpensive entertainment available. And Astro Boy was a forward-looking story. At the end of World War II, when Japan was occupied, actually the American military and the American occupation forbade depictions of many traditional stories, such as samurai stories, anything that had anything to do with revenge, or many of the action heroes that might have been popular before the war were not only forbidden, but they also were not popular. People wanted to look at something new. They wanted to look forward. And Astro Boy is a character that lives in Japan in the original story, but he's actually set in 2003. In the storyline, he's born April 7th, 2003. So Tezuka was forecasting, or he was looking forward to our era, our time.
He was imagining the future 50 years away.
In 1951 and 52. He was imagining our time, which makes it particularly interesting now for us to go back and read these stories or watch the animation, even if they may seem a little old-fashioned at times.
Now, one thing that I find curious is the whole connection to nuclear power. I mean, you said that he conceived of this character in 1951, 6 years after the nuclear bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and you'd think there would be such a stigma about this particular kind of energy in Japan.
Well, I think that in both Japan and the United States, after World War II, when people began to realize what had actually happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there was a revulsion and a type of horror that emerged. But there was also a hope that appeared, and that was true, I think, of Americans who were born around the time frame of World War II or shortly thereafter may remember. There was a hope that atomic power could be used for peaceful purposes. When I was a child, for example, I remember stories about, in American literature and comics and movies, we were all hoping that we would have atomic-powered cars and flying cars, which never came to fruition. But there was a real hope that atomic power could be used for peaceful purposes. And Astro Boy, the character that Tezuka created, is the embodiment of that aspiration and of Tezuka's hope that the technology could be used in a peaceful way. When the story was imported into the United States, I think it was actually quite fortunate that they stripped out the word atom, because it eliminated some of the more controversial aspects of his power source, because it really was an atomic reactor. But in America, he became Astro Boy, which was also a popular term. Astro was a very popular term in the 1950s and 60s in the United States, so you can see why they might have used that.
Mm-hmm. Tezuka created this character and sold these stories to kids, right? Kids in Japan, and yet they were pretty sophisticated.
They were very sophisticated, and that's one of the interesting things about these stories. And I always encourage people who are Astro Boy fans in the United States to go back and read the comic books that are now all translated, because they're very different from the animation. He originally targeted 10-year-old boys. That was basically the age of his original readership. But Tezuka himself was a true intellectual. He was quite an extraordinary individual. He was a licensed physician. He had read Russian literature and German literature. And he was working in Japan in the comics industry at a time when there were very few constraints. And he was really pioneering, you might say, a new genre of comics. So to keep himself entertained, he also incorporated very sophisticated subjects. So if you go back and read the original Astro Boy stories, because he's also looking forward to a world where robots are common, you'll see themes such as artificial intelligence, also civil rights, drug problems, even suicide bombers. He was thinking about all sorts of things that we're struggling with today.
Hmm. You have called Tezuka a genius. He was pretty extraordinary, wasn't he?
He was. I was very fortunate in that I knew him for over a decade. And I have to say I've met quite a few famous individuals in my career as an interpreter, but Tezuka was really off the charts. He was completely unique. He was always creating and always thinking of new stories and always drawing. And in order to keep creating new stories, he always had to be collecting information visually and orally. So he was like a sponge. He was sucking in stories from people and anecdotes and what he would see in movies. He was a movie lover. He was certainly the most productive person I've ever seen in my life. And as I mentioned earlier, he's known for having drawn 150,000 pages in his life and created 70 animated works of different, you know, TV and theatrical features and experimental animation. And to do that in what was a relatively short life, because he passed away at 60, you have to be working constantly. So he would only sleep, I should say, usually about 4 hours a night. And he was quite proud of that. He's legendary for it, actually. So always working, always drawing, always thinking.
Fred Schott is a translator, interpreter, and the author of Manga Manga, The World of Japanese Comics. Steve Paulson talked with him.